And his subject this afternoon is Draw Nigh Unto God. Draw Nigh Unto God. Brother Kinsley, please.
Thank you, Brother Furnetz. First of all, we would like to mention that Sister Janice and I and our entire family are very happy to be here. I'm sure rejoicing, as everyone is here, at the privilege of attending this wonderful convention. And we bring with us the love and greetings of your brethren in Orlando, who voted on several occasions to have their very special love extended to all of the brethren here. And then, of course, we'd like to bring a very special message of love from Brother Wallace and Sister Sophie Nowoski, who wanted to be remembered to all the friends here, and just convey that to all of you that they are doing as well as can be expected considering their years. And we especially appreciate their zeal and their love and their activity in the truth, and they are an example for all of us to follow. Draw nigh unto God. One of the very precious privileges that each of us enjoys as being a member of the church is the privilege of sonship. We find the Apostle John expresses this privilege so beautifully for us in the words, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." And we find the Apostle Paul confirms this privilege for us in his book, his Epistle to the Romans, chapter 8. Verses 14 and 15, which we would like to read from the Diglot. There Paul writes, "For as many as are guided by God's Spirit, these are the sons of God. We have received the spirit of sonship, by which we cry, Abba, Father." Now, this privilege of sonship carries with it a very special opportunity. It's an opportunity which staggers our imagination. It's an opportunity whose value is more than we can calculate. But it is an opportunity that we must take advantage of if we would reach our spiritual goal of joint heirship with our Redeemer. And this opportunity is the chance that each one of us have to draw nigh unto God. To draw nigh to the Creator of the universe, the self-existing one. We find the Apostle James in his epistle identifies for us this opportunity and exhorts us to take advantage of it. This exhortation is found in James 4th chapter in verse 8, where he writes, "Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you." What did the Apostle James mean when he said, when he encouraged us to draw nigh unto God? The original Greek means to approach or make near. And the lexicon adds the thought of turning one's thoughts to God and becoming acquainted with Him. James was exhorting the brethren. He was exhorting them to turn their thoughts to God and to improve the quality of their relationship with the Heavenly Father by drawing closer to Him. The same spiritual principle applies to us. The quality of our spiritual lives, the quality of our relationship with God, the making of our calling and election sure, depends on drawing nigh unto the Heavenly Father. We find the psalmist stresses this same thought for us in Psalm 73 and verse 28. "It is good for me to draw near to God." What do the scriptures mean by this phrase, drawing nigh unto God? We don't think it's referring to the feeling of peace and contentment that we often have when we're meeting with our brethren in meetings or personal fellowship, or even when we're gathered together like we are here in a convention. No, drawing nigh unto God is more than that. Drawing nigh begins with an attitude of heart and mind, the desire, the intention to do God's will, to follow the example of His Son. The Apostle Paul identified this attitude of heart and mind for us and made it synonymous with our Lord Jesus in Philippians, the second chapter, in verse 5. We'd like to read that from the dialogue. Philippians 2, 5, Paul exhorts us, "Let this disposition be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." But drawing nigh to God is more than just an attitude of heart and mind. That's only the beginning. Drawing nigh involves conforming our entire way of life to that attitude of heart and mind. And we would suggest that the Apostle Paul really is, in essence, describing for us drawing nigh unto God when he tells us in Romans, the 8th chapter, in verse 29, what God's purpose is in the call and the development of the church. And that is to conform them to the image of His dear Son. Drawing nigh unto God means being conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that really is the essence of the lesson that James is giving us here in this 4th chapter of James. He was rebuking the brethren for their carnality, for their continuing to hold to the ways of the flesh. And he was admonishing them to turn away from that and to be like the example Christ. Now we ask ourselves a question, why? Why are we, or why should we be interested in drawing nigh unto God? There's many answers to that question. One reason is because we love the Lord. We love God because He first loved us. 1 John 4:19. And how do we know God loves us? He tells us in the Scriptures, in His Word. The Scriptures tell us of God's great love, how God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him, how God sent His Son to die that we might be reconciled to Him, and how we have the privilege of being adopted into God's divine family. 1 John 4:9, 2 Corinthians 5:19, Ephesians 1 and 5. And this kindled within our hearts and minds a love and a desire to draw near to God who made this sacrifice on our behalf. And that love even grows when we appreciate the fact that the scope of God's plan and love is so broad that it encompasses not only our salvation, but the salvation of all the families of the earth. Our desire to draw nigh unto God also comes from an appreciation, our appreciation of the Heavenly Father's glorious character. Through the Scriptures, to an understanding of His Word, we, as the psalmist puts it in Psalms 34 and 8, we taste and see that the Lord is good. In God, we see wisdom and justice and love and power operating in perfect harmony, not for the accomplishment of selfish purposes, but for the blessing of all God's creation. We see in the Heavenly Father this glorious being that created all that we see around us. We see someone worthy of our respect, someone worthy of our adoration, someone worthy of our worship, someone whose wisdom never fails, who is too wise to err, who is kind even to the unthankful, someone in which we can put the trust of our lives. The prophet Jeremiah really describes for us God's greatness so beautifully for us in Jeremiah, the 32nd chapter, and verses 17 to 19. We'd like to read a portion of it from the Revised Standard Version. Jeremiah 32, 17 and 19. "Ah, Lord God, behold, it is Thou who hast made the heavens and the earth by Thy great power and by Thy stretched out arm. Nothing is too hard for Thee, who showest steadfast love to thousands. O great God, O great and mighty God, whose name is the Lord of hosts, great in counsel and mighty in deed, whose eyes are open to all the ways of man. Our desire to draw nigh unto God also comes from something else, from a realization that our strength and our protection and the light and the knowledge that we need to obtain salvation and gain everlasting life can only come from drawing near to the Heavenly Father. The psalmist prophetically expressed the protection and the strength that our Lord Jesus received during his first advent by drawing near to the Heavenly Father in Psalms, the 16th chapter, in verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Brethren, that same principle applies to us. We cannot dwell in the secret place of the Most High. We cannot abide under the shadow of the Almighty unless we draw nigh unto God. And God is also the source of all truth and the light that we need to serve him. And the nearer we draw to God, the more light shines on our path and shows us the way that we should go. And the more we draw nigh unto God, the clearer our pattern, our Lord Jesus, the clearer his example and his character become to us so that we may follow it. If the Lord and his light is over here, and we are over here, we have little light to guide our paths. We need to draw into the light in order to make our calling and election sure. But we are not the only people who had an opportunity to draw nigh unto the Lord. The nation of Israel had an opportunity under the law covenant. But as the prophet Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 29 and verse 13, they failed. They failed because while their mouths and their lips, they tried to draw nigh unto God through their mouth and through their lips, their heart was far removed from him. And through the prophet, the Lord is trying to teach us a very important lesson here, that there are right and there are wrong ways in drawing nigh unto God. Israel tried the wrong way, with outward actions only, and not from the heart. And that was not acceptable to God. But we do have some advice. It comes to us from the words of the Apostle Paul on what is the proper way, what is the proper basis for drawing nigh unto God. And it's found in Paul's epistle to the Hebrew brethren, in the 10th chapter, in verses 21 and 22. Hebrews 10, 21 and 22, and we'd like to read it from the Diaglot. And having a great priest over the house of God, we should approach with a true heart and full conviction of faith, having our hearts having been sprinkled from a consciousness of evil. Here the Apostle Paul is defining for us some essential requirements that we must meet to draw nigh unto God in an acceptable way. And the first one he mentions is having a true or a loyal heart. Our heart, our affections, must be set on things above, on the Heavenly Father and serving him. We cannot draw nigh unto God if we are double-minded, or if the Lord has to compete with other things or other people for our affections, for the chief place in our hearts. Drawing nigh unto God begins with the right heart condition. That's why the nation of Israel failed. They didn't really love God. Their hearts were far from him. Their hearts were focused on other things, things of the flesh. The same principle applies to us. To draw nigh unto God in a proper way begins with the proper condition of our hearts. Our hearts must be true, loyal unto the Heavenly Father. That's what the prophet Jeremiah meant when he wrote in Jeremiah the 29th chapter in verse 13, "We shall find the Lord when we search for him with all our heart." But the proper heart condition is more than just a true heart. Our hearts must be humble. not containing pride, but teachable, willing to listen to the instructions of God and then follow those instructions. The psalmist tells us as much as in Psalms, the 34th chapter, in verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto those that are brokenhearted, and he saveth those that are of a contrite heart. It's only those whose hearts have been broken, whose hearts are humble, who've been emptied of self, that the Lord can fill with his Spirit and draw them nigh unto him. In Hebrews 10:22, though, Paul gives us other essential requirements for drawing nigh unto God. The second is a full conviction of faith. We all recognize that without faith it's impossible to please God. Apostle Paul tells us this in Hebrews 11:6. But if we go to the last part of that verse and read it from the diglot, Paul makes a connection between faith and drawing nigh unto God. For he writes these words, "For it is necessary for him who comes near or draws near to God to believe that he exists, and to those that seek him, he becomes a rewarder." Full conviction means entire confidence. Our entire confidence must be in God, in the exceeding great and precious promises he has given to us, and God's willingness, his ability, and his faithfulness in fulfilling those promises in our lives. 2 Peter 1:4. Full conviction, entire confidence, means that we claim the promises in the Scriptures as our own. They belong to us. We depend upon God to fulfill them in our lives. And the last condition Paul mentions in Hebrews 22 is that our hearts are sprinkled from a consciousness of evil. Here Paul is speaking of our justification, how we are reconciled to God by the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus and as represented in the blood of sprinkling. Apostle Paul talks about this reconciliation in Colossians, the first chapter, and verses 21 and 22. And again, we'd like to read from the diaglot. Colossians 1, 21 and 22. "And you formerly, being aliens and enemies in mind by wicked works, he has even now reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, blameless, and irreproachable before him. The man Christ Jesus, as an offering for sin, has opened the way for us to escape Adamic condemnation and to draw nigh unto God by his blood." Ephesians 2:13, Colossians 1:20. Without justification, we would still be aliens and strangers and enemies of God, and we could never draw nigh unto him in that condition. Well, in this verse 22, Paul mentions some of the conditions that we must meet to draw nigh unto God. There are other things, other courses of action that we can take to accomplish this in our lives and fulfill the exhortation that James has given us to draw nigh unto God. And there's two that we would like to mention. The first is adopting the mind of Christ, and the second is taking full advantage of our privilege of prayer. Really, adopting the mind of Christ is the admonition that Paul gave us in Philippians 2:5, in which we have already mentioned. It means to do and to say things just as Christ would have said them and done them. And the Scriptures are very explicit in telling us what Jesus said and did. He only did and he only said the things that were pleasing to God. John 8:28 and 29. That is the example that we are to follow, doing and saying the things which are pleasing to God. Adopting the mind of Christ really means bringing God and his will into all of our experiences of life. That's what our Lord Jesus did during his earthly ministry, really during all of his existence. How did our Lord respond to the three trials that he had in the wilderness? He responded with the words, "It is written." Jesus was bringing God's will into the experience. We must do the same. And how would we characterize, how would we describe the mind of Christ? Apostle Paul describes it partially for us in Philippians 2 and verse 8. He says it contains humility or obedience. And we would add to it, it also includes love. Love for the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Matthew 22, 37 and 38. And to love one another as our Lord Jesus loved us and laid down his life on our behalf. John 13, 34. We would say that Psalmist sums up the mind of Christ so beautifully, though, for us in a very simple verse, one that we're all very familiar with. Psalms 40 and verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. That is the mind of Christ. And by adopting this mind, we are conformed. We are transformed into the image of God's dear Son. And as Jesus always reflected the glory of God through his character, so that means that we are drawing closer to the character of God, drawing nigh unto him. Prayer is another means by which we may draw nigh unto God. Prayer is the privilege we have of personal communication with the Heavenly Father at any time of the night or day. It is by prayer that we boldly come into the Heavenly Father's throne of grace, ask for help in every time of need. Hebrews 4:16. It is also by prayer that we praise the Heavenly Father's name and that we express our thanksgiving and appreciation and love, both for who he is and what he has done and what he has promised. Prayer will bring us, draw us nigh unto God if we use it as God has intended, to develop a personal relationship between the Heavenly Father and ourselves. We find in the world, in mankind, that relationships, friendship, and even love is developed on the basis of communication, on the basis of two individuals sharing and expressing to one another their thoughts and their hopes and their desires and their affections. And without communication, there can be no relationship. What kind of marriage exists between a husband and wife? What kind of relationship exists between a father and a son if there is no or there is very poor communication? A relationship lives on the basis of two-way communication. And this same principle applies to us in our spiritual lives. We must and we have to communicate with God. God communicates to us through his word. He reveals to us in the scriptures his mind, the thoughts of his heart, his plans and purposes, an invitation to become a part of his family. And we accept that communication by studying the word of the Lord and meditating upon it. And prayer is the means, is the gift God has given to us to communicate back to him, to express our praise, to give him our thanks, to ask for help. And the more we communicate with God, the more we study his word and accept his instructions to us, and the more we commune with him through prayer and pour out our hearts into him, the stronger our relationship with the Heavenly Father becomes, and the more we draw nigh unto him. And so prayer will draw us nigh unto God if we follow the admonitions and make full advantage of it in our lives. If we pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. If we watch in prayer that we enter not into temptation, Matthew 26:41. And if in everything we give thanks, a good prayer life will keep our hearts and minds focused on spiritual things. Drawing nigh unto God is essential to making our calling and election sure. And so we need to continually examine ourselves to see how well we are doing. We need to see whether or not we are bringing the Lord God into all of our experiences, especially the little ones. The little experiences are often the best measure of whether or not the mind of Christ is controlling our lives. And what standard are we using to judge our actions and our course of life? Is it what our Lord would say and do? If that is true, then we are drawing nigh unto God. And have we emptied our hearts and minds of our own spirit? The Lord cannot fill us with His Spirit unless there is room for it. And we make room in our hearts and minds for the Spirit of God by accepting His communication with us and studying His Word. And how often do we commune with God in prayer? Do we pray without ceasing? Do we start and end the day in prayer? And do we keep touch with God during the entire stretch of our day's activities? And what is our attitude of prayer? Is it a privilege? Is it a blessing? Is it a joy? How we answer these questions will determine whether or not we are taking advantage of our privileges, drawing nigh unto God. And the promise James made to us is that if we draw nigh unto God, He will draw nigh unto us. Not only on this side of the veil, helping us and filling us with His Spirit and overruling our experiences, but ultimately raising us in the first resurrection as an everlasting member of His divine family if we are faithful. The exhortation to draw nigh unto God is the reason why we're here. True, we came to meet with the Lord's people and to see the friends that we perhaps haven't seen for many years. But above all else, we have come here, each one of us, to draw nigh unto God. We have come here because we expect the Lord will be here, and we have come to learn of Him. And it is my prayer for each one of us that our drawing nigh unto God will not be limited to this convention, not be limited to just our meetings and our fellowship with the brethren, but it will continue in the example that Jesus has set for us until we are fully transformed into the likeness of His Son. May the Lord add His blessing.
Thank you, Brother Kinsley, for that message. Drawing nigh unto God.
Our loving Heavenly Father, hallowed be Thy most holy and precious name. As a small group of Thy children, dear Father, again we come into Thy presence to praise Thy holy name, to express to Thee our thanksgiving and appreciation and adoration for Thy glorious character and for all the blessings that Thou hast bestowed upon us. And may these blessings, dear Father, serve their intended purpose in our lives, to draw us nigh unto Thee and to finish the work of conforming us to the image of Thy dear Son. Forgive us, dear Father, for anything that we've said or done amiss. Grant us all a greater measure of Thy Holy Spirit, not only we ourselves, but all Thy children the world over, and especially be with those in beds of sickness or affliction, those who could not be here, those in foreign lands. Hold them in the hollow of Thy hand, dear Father, and shower them with Thy great love and Thy tender mercy. And as always, dear Father, we commit all things into Thy care and keeping, praying for the soon establishment of Thy kingdom and asking all of this in the name and through the merit of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen.